I think it's rather fitting that Canada's Attorney General, David Lametti, is in Niagara Falls, where he's going to reveal details of the single sports betting in Canada law that has already received royal assent. By the way, that was back on June 29th. And since then, there has been a lot of money that has been lost. And they wanted to point that out, they being the people who support single sports betting in Canada. Not everybody is in favor of it because they worry about, well, addiction of gambling and so on. But it goes a lot deeper than that, as we're going to find out as we welcome back Moshe Lander, economist with Concordia University. This is his wheelhouse. He studies the economics of professional sports. Always good to talk to you. Thanks for your time.
Anytime.
Hey, let's simplify this and do almost like a single sports betting 101. What does it entail? How will things change?
So up until now, betting was legal in Canada as long as you bet on multiple games going your way. So this was called a parlay. So you would have to bet on tonight's CFL game and tomorrow night's CFL game in order to win your money. This, of course, lengthens the odds, and it also is supposed to minimize the chances of match fixing, right? If you're really that high-stakes gambler that you want to make sure that you win and you go try and bribe players to throw a game, if you have to make two or more games go your way, the fact is that it's very unlikely you're going to be able to convince that many people. Single game betting now just means that you don't have to bet on multiple games to go your way to win your bet. It's just bet one game at a time, and if you win, you win, and if you don't, you don't.
It was still going on. It's just no one in Canada benefited legally, right?
Right. I mean, the fact is that people were gambling, whether through office pools or students, of course, are gambling through some bookie who's, you know, on the same floor in your dorm, or you would know somebody who knows somebody, or you'd just go to some illegal website that was offshore where you could bet money, and in theory it was outside the reach of the government. Now you're able to do it in a legal way in front of anybody who wants to view it. The issue, of course, is going to be that as long as you pay your taxes, then the government has no problem.
So my next question would be, who's going to benefit? The government, because they get taxes on it. Who else?
Well, you know, when you're doing something illegally, right, there's no consumer protection laws in place, right? So, you know, if you gamble with a bookie and the bookie doesn't pay off the money that you're owed, what are you going to do? You're going to take them to court? You were doing something that was technically illegal to begin with. And so there was no protection for the consumer in that case. And the transactions themselves then would come with a certain amount of risk that maybe some gamblers enjoyed. But the fact that it's now above board just means that there's protections now that consumers are going to know when they bet, they're going to be able to get their money, and they're not going to have to worry about these reneging or some sort of alteration of what's going on. So they're going to seek to benefit as well. And, of course, to whatever extent the sports leagues get behind the betting, if they can get into partnership deals with the various different websites and platforms that are offering it, they stand to benefit too because they can get a cut of each part of whatever gambling is going on in their sport.
Does it have to be online, or like in horse racing, will there be a window that you can go to during a game or at, you know?
I completely expect that we're going to see that it's going to be at game sites within a short amount of time. You know, hey, you and I are going to an Ottawa game, and as you're getting up to go get me a beer, I'm going to say, here's $5. Can you go put down on, you know, over under on Ottawa in the second half? So it's very easy to imagine that these are going to be kiosks within the stadium itself.
And clearly it would bring potentially more people to the stadium because of the fact that the experience goes beyond sitting there and drinking beer, especially if you don't like football. It's like CFL.
You're exactly right. And the fact is that, you know, football is one of those sports that's almost perfect to watch on TV, right? When you have a 60-minute game that takes 3.5 hours to play and there's only about 10 minutes of actual playing time itself, it's the perfect sort of thing where you can channel surf or you can watch the instant replays from 10 different angles and things like that. And you don't get the same sort of experience, especially in the winter time as it sets into Canada. But if you know that you can go into a stadium or into an arena, if you actually wanted to watch the Senators, and gamble while you're doing that, that might change some of the enjoyment of the experience. Sure, you could do it at home. Sure, you could do it on a website. But it makes the in-game experience maybe a little more attractive. And so I think that's why teams are going to want to try and pursue a way to get it into the arenas and stadiums.
So there's lost revenue / income right now with the way it's set up. What this should do, and I'm going to go through the list again of the winners here. We've got the government taking a cut. We've got the leagues taking a cut. You've got the consumer with an added value to the experience. However, socially, the question is gambling addiction. It ruins lives. How do they monitor that so it doesn't spike it?
So in a weird way, making it legal actually makes it easier to spot the signs of addiction and the signs of problems, right? When you're doing something that's underground and it's out of the eyes of the people who might be able to provide social services to help those that have addictions and problems, the fact is that if at least you're saying, hey, you can do this above board, it's kind of like the same idea that is out in Vancouver and with like the safe needle injection sites, right? The idea is that, look, we understand that this could create addictive problems and all of the social issues that come with it. At least if we can see you doing it, we can offer you some degree of safety and security and support. And so it's going to be the same sort of thing then with gambling, that once it's now above board and in theory it's tied to your social insurance number because you're paying taxes on it, there can be at least some level of oversight and monitoring that can come with it to try and support those that really do have problems. And that means you can create, you know, 1-800 numbers or whatever, that if you feel you have an addiction or if you know somebody who has an addiction, exactly the same way that we do in this country with alcohol or any other sort of problem addiction.
We also expect bartenders to cut you off if you're going to drive. Would they be doing the same, you know, at the window if you've bet so much and you clearly have an issue?
Well, I would hope so. The idea then is that because it's above board, the fact is that your profile should be completely visible. So we can see that you have a certain amount of bets that you've placed. And to a certain extent, we can also put safeguards if we wanted that cap the amount that you can lose, right? So if your entire transaction history is viewable in the same way that if I go to a bank, they can see my entire transaction history on my bank account. And we can say, you know what? You're a particularly bad gambler, as most people would be, right? That's how Vegas becomes Vegas. But, you know, you're particularly bad at this. And based on your income history, based on your credit history, or based on whatever it is, you know what? We're going to cut you off, or we're going to put a limit on how much you can do, in the same way that you can have limits on your bank account into how much you can e-transfer somebody within a 30-day period. These things could be put in place if necessary as a way to try and create caps. Now, remember, of course, if you create these caps, it is possible that that drives people back underground, but as long as it's being done in a transparent way where people understand why it's happening and what are the consequences, it would hopefully limit that.
Why now? What took so long?
Morality. I think it's kind of the same thing that, you know, what have we seen in the last decade in the forms of gay marriage,
marijuana,
cannabis legalization. Yeah, exactly. It's just one of those things that all of a sudden society realizes, what was our problem with this stuff in the first place? And the next thing you know, politicians are falling all over themselves to say, well, we don't have a problem with it. So I think this is one of those things that its time has kind of come. The issue now is, you mentioned at the top, it's 7 weeks ago now that this thing was given royal assent. And here we are sitting in August saying, okay, if this is law now, why can't we do anything about it? And I assume that's what today's announcement is going to be all about.
Will this become an election issue, do you think, or is this going to fall off the radar very quickly?
I think it's going to fall very quickly. I think today's announcement is going to be that they're putting it in place as quickly as possible. Don't forget that the biggest source of gambling in North America is on the NFL, and the NFL season is about 3 weeks away from getting going. So if they don't find a way to kind of kick this in motion and get this up and running, there's going to be a huge amount of gambling in those first few weeks that's going to go missing. And so we're talking about millions of dollars in lost revenue. You know, I think they want this going right now. And I think they want it before there's an election, because I don't think they want this to linger as an election issue.
Yeah.
It's law. It's already in place. Just get it running and let's move on. I think Canada has a lot of other things to worry about in this upcoming election.
We'll know in a couple hours the full details. Moshe Lander, thanks for the insight and background. Appreciate it.
Anytime. Take it.
Concordia University economist, professor specializing in the study of economics of professional sports.